I'd done that, that'd be two of me. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21, and want to focus on a very simple thought. Hallelujah. And I want to give it a title this morning. Don't forget the water. Simple title, don't forget the water. How many, if you were making a trip into the desert, what would be the very first thing on your list? I would hope so. Hallelujah. Don't forget the water. Think on that thought today as we look into the Word of God. Revelation 21, and let's read verses 4, 5, and 6. And just to give you a little heads up, I want to focus today in the latter part of the book of Revelation and the Gospel of John. So we will be turning to the Gospel of John here shortly. If you're in Revelation 21:4, give me a good hearty amen.
Amen.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, and he said unto me, It is done. Hallelujah. I could preach an hour on that. It is done. It is accomplished. It is finished. It is fulfilled. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life, what? Freely. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your holy word this morning. We praise you for the power of your spirit. I thank you for the promise of eternal life. Thank you for the atoning work of Christ on the cross. And Lord, today we look to you for help. We look to you for guidance. We look to you for anointing. We look to you, Lord, for instruction and understanding. Have your way right now as we look to the word. Lord, help us, Father. Give us the right understanding today. We praise you in advance for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. I love the term, athirst. Sister Connie mentioning about those in her job now that she has encountered and seeing some of the parts of society that oftentimes are hid from us and so many people that are overdosing. And help me understand that you're not going to find satisfaction in the bottom of a bottle or at the end of a needle. Amen. I believe, as I've always many times preached and always held to, that inside of every person there is a God-sized hole that can only be filled by God Himself. And although many people try many things, how many are thankful that at the end of ourselves, when we come to the realization that He was what we needed all along, we find our way to an altar of prayer, we call upon the wonderful Lord and Savior, we find the free gift of eternal life, hallelujah, and we find the true peace and satisfaction that was always needed. Amen. So we're just looking in the wrong place. Love these scriptures. We're going to go to chapter 22 just in a second here. But he is saying here, I, who, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is all sufficient. He is omniscient, having all knowledge. He is omnipresent, means he's everywhere. And he is omnipotent, means he has all power. I love those omni words. But he is everything you need today. I don't know always how to describe him, but I can't prescribe him to everybody. He's the solution to your problem. You say, well, you don't understand my problem. It doesn't matter what your problem is. I believe he is the solution to any problem and every problem. Amen. But he said here, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. We're all thirsty. We need to understand our thirst and what truly will quench that thirst. He says he would give us the water, and I want to focus on water today freely. Notice chapter 22. Give me a few moments here as I lay a foundation. There are three occurrences in the book of Revelation about the water of life. I'm not talking about natural water. I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about the gift of eternal life. May I say that it entails many things, but focusing this morning, the water of life is having a personal relationship with the Savior. the Prince of Life, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, the Author of Life, the Author and the Finisher of our faith. His name is Jesus. Can someone say amen? So when we talk about the water of life, I want to tell you the source of true refreshing. Having a relationship with Jesus and knowing Him and the free pardon of your sin, having the guilt and the shame of sin lifted. Someone say, praise the Lord. Knowing that what He done for you and for I on the cross of Calvary atones us and allows us to once again enter the presence of God. Whereas man, through sin in Genesis 3, was banished from the garden, separate from God, we're now have that right and privilege. Oh, glory to God. Feel the power of the Lord in this place this morning. To be able once again to enter the presence of God and have Brother Russell fellowship with my Lord and Savior once again. Someone say, praise the Lord. Now I want to read the three occurrences in Revelation of the phrase, water of life. And this morning I want to encourage you, don't forget the water. Verse 1 of Revelation chapter 22, last chapter of the Bible. And He showed me a pure river. A pure river. Not defiled, not polluted, not dirty. Amen. I shared with the church a while back of the branch that ran by my grandmother's house. How many recall the story of the outhouse that stretched across this little branch, and when it would dry up, well, things would accumulate. Someone say, praise the Lord. But then when a good rain would come along, it would just sort of wash it all downstream. And I challenged the church, if you wanted to drink water, would you drink downstream from the outhouse or upstream from the outhouse? I'm going upstream. Anybody with me today? Well, the point that I made then when I preached that message was the closer you get to the source, the more pure the water is. Now, when I read Revelation 22:1, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, here's the thing, friends. If we can get close enough to the throne, if we can get into His presence, the water is mighty fine. We get it secondhand down here. If we get it from our preacher when he gets it from God. I don't want to get nothing secondhanded. Hear me now. I don't want to get it from mommy. I don't want to get it from daddy. I don't want to get it from my cousin or my uncle. I want to get it directly from God. And I don't want to get it secondhand today. Amen. I want to go right to the throne for myself. I don't need a man to plead my case. Understand, I've got Jesus on the right hand of God the Father, and I can go directly to Him. Can someone say amen? Verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, hallelujah, and on either side of the river there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. You're planting a tree by the what? The river of life. The tree of life by the river of life in the presence of God, near the throne of God. I tell you what, that's going to be some mighty fine eating. Amen. And even the byproduct of this tree, it's saying here the leaves are for the healing of the nations. I believe everything that has anything to do with Jesus is good. The very least that comes from God does the greatest work. Even the Syrophoenician woman, when she came to Jesus and said, heal my daughter. And Jesus looked at her and says, shall I give the children's bread to the dogs? And she says, oh, don't the dogs even get the crumbs that fall from the table? I believe the crumbs of God today is more than the banquet of the devil. How many can give me an amen today? Little is much when God is in it. Let's jump down to verse 17. If you're there so far, say amen. We must be thirsty. This world will get you thirsty. Amen. And life, if you're paying any attention at all to life, Sister Vicki sharing beforehand of all these things that's going on, sometimes, Sister Vicki, just a wake-up call from God so that we can see clearly. We need it. But life will give you the right perspective if you listen. If you'll pay attention, someone say amen. We must be thirsty. We must understand the true source. And this verse in Revelation 22 and 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, read this with me, come. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, the invitation of Jesus is come. Say that word with me, say, come. Tell your neighbor, come. The greatest invitation that the King of the entire universe has an open door policy with me. and that he invites not just me, hear me now, not just you, not just people within our denomination or organization, but I want you to know whosoever, regardless of what side of the track you came from or what nationality or race you're part of, what language you speak, it doesn't matter. The invitation today from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that there is an open door and he wants you just to come on in and be part of his family. My goodness, that was your cue to shout. I'm telling you the truth. You should have took off right then. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And I want you to put your name here. And if Ted Stidham will, say your name there. Let him take of the water of life freely. Friends, we got to come. We've got a wonderful invitation today. Got a loving God that we talked about in Sunday school, and it's incomprehensible. It exceeds our imagination how God loves us. But I still like to think about it, Brother Mike. I still try to figure it out, whether I can or not. I'm still trying to figure out how good God is. Amen. Let's go to the book of John. If you're with me so far, say praise the Lord. And don't you worry about the food. It'll be good when you get down there. Hallelujah. I appreciate the encouragement to be short-winded, and I'll do what I can today. You know what? You know what another name for arm twisting is? It's encouragement. I know I know you all want to hear the word of God, and I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Water is an important commodity in this world. This world has got plenty of water. 75% of the surface of this earth is covered with water. That's an interesting number because 75% of our bodies are water. Some people who decide that after they're gone to have their remains cremated wind up in a little tiny container, because once the water is all removed and evaporated away through cremation, all that's left is just a little bit of dust. How many know that's where we started? Amen. God made man from the dust of the earth. And I have to make the point. He laid there a lifeless being. But when God breathed into him, Genesis chapter 2, it says, God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. I want to feel the wind of his breath breathing upon us today. We need life. The Dunville Church of God needs life today. Friends, you need life. Your family needs life. How many believe our government today needs life? Our schools need life. Our community needs life. We need life in every part of it. And the only way we're going to get it is that if he breathes upon us, just like Ezekiel 37, when he breathed upon them slain, they did live. Now, when we talk about water, again, this earth has got plenty of water, but only 1% or less than 1% of all the water upon the face of this earth is actually drinkable. The salt water in the oceans is not drinkable. Amen. We need the right water. We need the type of water that we can consume. Water is a blessing. Someone say amen. How many have ever prayed for rain? We prayed for rain back this summer. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. Find John chapter 4. And that represents blessing. I believe today when we talk about God pouring upon us something, he's signifying he's blessing us with something. How many believe that he can pour upon us the Holy Ghost, the power and the presence of God? I know the upper room believers in Acts chapter 2, they were there in one mind and one accord when Joel chapter 2 took effect, when God said, I will pour out of my spirit. Amen. Your sons and daughters would prophesy. Your young men would see vision. Your old men would dream dreams. My servants and my handmaidens, old, young, poor, rich, male, female. How many fit one of them categories? How many are either old or poor or old or young? How many are both old and poor? Wait a minute. No, you're either old or young. You're either rich or poor. You're either male or female. And all those categories are covered. That God loves you and he's going to pour out his presence and spirit upon you. I qualify today. I qualify as an object of the grace of God. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am applicable to all of the blessings of God so that he can pour it out upon me. Somebody say amen. He promised the tither in Malachi 3, that the windows of heaven would be open. And that's a metaphor of God just drenching you with His goodness and His presence. John chapter 4. I want to share something I seen driving on the road the other day. Before I do, I want to look at the woman at the well. She went there that day with her water pot in order to retrieve some natural water for her family, taking it back. And while she was there getting the natural water, she encountered Jesus. How many are glad one day you encountered Jesus and your life ain't been the same since? Glory to God. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again." How many could put in the substitute water here for things? How many have ever got that idea? Boy, if I could just have that car. And I really enjoy cars, by the way. If y'all don't know me, I enjoy cars and motorcycles and I enjoy things. God blesses us with things. But how many have ever had your eye on a thing? Thinking, man, I'd love to have that. That'll be so much fun. I'd really enjoy that. And then after you get it, and after you have it a day or two, it's really no big deal. How many have found that time after time after time in your life? You long for something, and you want something, and you lust for something. Someone say, praise the Lord. And then after you get it, wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. If you drink of that water, you'll thirst again. But listen to what Jesus said here in the next verse. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the promise Jesus is saying to this woman, the natural water may temporarily quench your thirst, but you're going to thirst again. But what I provide goes far, far, far beyond that. The water that I am offering you today, the invitation of coming to the fountain and drinking today, does something on the inside that nothing else can do. How many can say, that's what Jesus done for me? That's what Jesus done for me. He done something on the inside that nothing else could do. Jump down to verse 28. Now, I preached this message a while back. This woman, so captivated by Jesus. Oh my goodness, can you imagine what that would be like? To be there with Jesus and hear that offer. Our Lord told her many things about her life. How many understand He's all knowing? And she got so captivated by Him in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Now, what I want to tell you, she may have left the water pot, but she took the water and she took the well. Now, I want to tell you just to leave your water pot. Now, a water pot is a vessel that's of a fixed size. How many understand that a 1 gallon water pot will hold how much water? And if you try to put more than that in it, two things will occur. It will bust or it will run over. That's all it can do. How much water, though, does a well of living water, flowing water, have? You can't measure it. It keeps on going. I want you to know a little stream of water will overflow a bathtub, friends, because it keeps going and it keeps flowing. You can't measure the capacity of water that's moving. Say amen. And that's what the Lord's saying today. I want you to take off your preconceived limitations about how big God is. You can't fit God into a water pot. You can't bend Him and put Him in your back pocket. He don't fit in your trunk. He inhabits heaven and earth. Heaven is His throne. Earth is His footstool. I tell you what, we can't quantify and put God in terms of an exact size. Amen. But this woman, what did she do? She didn't forget the water. She forgot the water pot. And can you imagine, I don't know in that day, but I have to believe that water pot was a valuable tool that woman in her household needed. Yet after an encounter with Jesus, she got so preoccupied with the good things of God that she forgot. But I believe she took something far, far better. Can someone say amen? Now, I want to fast forward to John chapter 7. I don't know of those of you that have noticed, but on US 27, a little south of Nicholasville, there is an abandoned hotel. How many of you have ever noticed that wave at me? That has water tile uninstalled, laying on the side of the road, going to that hotel. The hotel, my understanding, and I've done some research and I could not find all the information I needed. My understanding is for whatever reason, they were unable to get water to the hotel. Build a fine, nice hotel, don't know how many rooms, several stories high. And those of y'all right on the southern end of Nicholasville, as you're headed toward Lexington, notice that. There's a gas station also beside it that's abandoned. Behind the gas station is a 37-acre plot of land that's for sale that has a baseball field. It's for sale. I guess because they can't get water. I don't know. My understanding and what I heard secondhanded, it's a rumor. Don't know if you believe it or not. Don't know if I believe it or not. Someone refused to allow them water passage. And I don't know what is controlling that. But I began to think about that. And I'm thinking, here you went and spent however many hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to build a hotel without providing for the water. Now, how many would like to stay in a hotel with no water? Not me. Not me. And the thought struck me, you know, we build our churches, but we ain't got no water. Someone say, praise the Lord. And I want you to know, when we pave the parking lot, Brother Richard, I thought people will see that parking lot and they'll think, boy, that's a nice church, and somebody will come. I don't know that we've won a single person because of a parking lot. How many drive by a church and think, boy, I'm going to go to church there. They got a paved parking lot. How many want to go to church because you got new carpet? How many thank God for a carpet we put in here last year? I like it. Carpet never saved us up. And we're looking to sometime here, if the Lord so blesses us, to put padded pews. But guess what? The padded pews ain't going to bring the water. Someone say, praise the Lord. So in your planning and in your preparation, don't forget the water. Because if you're without the water, when it comes to the Lord, you've lost it all. Jesus wants you to have the water today. Someone say, praise the Lord. I've asked you to turn to John, chapter number 7. If you will notice, verse number 2, I want to locate the time of this occurrence. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. The Feast of Tabernacles. This was the third and final feast of the three main feasts. There were 7 feasts, 3 main feasts. The 3 main feasts, each person of Israel was to make a pilgrimage, if they could, to the holy city, to Jerusalem. And Tabernacles was designed as a memorial. When they come out of Egypt, they dwelt in booths or tents. And they was just remembering how God delivered them. How many remember today how God delivered you? I was in the bondage and slavery of Egypt land. The land of sin. And it was through the mighty salvation of the Lord that delivered me out. And although I'm walking through a desert today, I'm on my way to a promised land. I'm eating manna from heaven. I've got the Holy Spirit as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He feeds me with water from the rock. He sustains me in the desert of this world. Can someone say amen? Don't forget the water. I want to read for you something that history says, a tradition developed during the Feast of the Tabernacles. I have never preached this, but listen to this. It says, during the Feast of Tabernacles in Israel, there are many prayers offered for rain. By this time of the year, the country has usually gone through 5 or 6 hot months with no rainfall, or things have got plenty dry. At some time during the festival, the very first shower of rain often falls. This shower of precious heavenly water brings much rejoicing and hope for more rain during the approaching winter months. Along this same line, one important part of the celebration of tabernacles in biblical times was the water drawing festival. In this celebration, young priests took a golden pitcher to the pool of Siloam and filled it with water. Then he led a large procession of people as they carried lighted torches and made their way to the temple. Upon arriving at the temple, the water was poured upon the altar. The people broke out into jubilant song and dance. The ceremony was a request for abundant rain. The next paragraph. The rabbis have connected this celebration with Isaiah 12 and 3. Let me read that. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. How many are drawing water with joy today? Hallelujah. You've entered that well. Let me continue here. The rabbis have also said, he that never has seen the joy of, and it gives the Hebrew word of the water drawing festival, has never in this life seen joy. Now that's some old Hebrew Jewish tradition. Notice John chapter number 7. They was doing this water drawing festival. They went to the pool of Siloam. They took that pitcher and they filled it with water. And then this grand procession on the way back to the temple, they took that water and they poured it across the altar of God. Jump down to verse 37. John 7, chapter 7, verse 37. And I want you to understand what our Lord was seeing in that day when he was there at the Feast of the Tabernacles. It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, during this water drawing festival, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, read this with me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. They were doing something natural there, Brother David, as they were rejoicing in the blessings of God. Friends, I want you to know that the cross of eternity is the altar. And I believe Jesus, when he was there on the cross, a Roman soldier pierced his side. And what came out? Blood. Come, you Bible scholars, jump in here. What came out? Blood and water. What was God the Father, this emaciated Savior, so dehydrated he had to be? I believe it was a supernatural event, Brother Micah, that God allowed the water to come out. I believe he was signifying the fulfillment of Zechariah, where it said there would be a fountain opened in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. But friends, I believe that Jesus is my well. And how many are going to run to him? If you've ever had the privilege of seeing Niagara Falls, and we went up there several years ago, a whole lot of water comes gushing out. Friends, that's nothing compared to what my God has for us. Showers of blessing. But this morning, when you make your plans and when you decide how you're going to live your life, I'm going to give you one piece of advice. Don't forget the water. Don't forget the presence of God. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Sister Vicki, will you want to prepare a song on the piano for us right now? Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and praise Him. We're going to have a moment of prayer just in a minute, but let's just praise Him. Father, we thank You this morning. Lord, we praise You this morning. Thank You for each person, Lord, that's come out here to Your house. And You know every heart today. Father, You know each person and the condition of their soul today. And Lord, if there's one present here this morning that don't know You and the free pardon of their sin, Father, I pray You do a work right now in their life. Thank You for taking our place. Wonderful Lord and Savior, thank You for Calvary. Lord, for being our substitute, for paying that price. This morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, and no one looking around, this is commonly the way folks are invited, but I just feel to do this day. This morning, if you're not ready for heaven, and you know you're not ready for heaven, I want to tell you that the open arms of our Savior are waiting for you. He loves you. Hallelujah. And He wants you part of His family. But this morning, as every head is bowed, every eye closed, every child of God pray, would there be one person here under the sound of my voice? You know you're not ready for heaven. Will you just slip up your hands and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me this morning?" Would there be one right now? Would there be one right now? Eternity is waiting, friend. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Would there be one this morning? He loves you today. I want you to obey the Lord today. If you're not ready to meet the Lord, don't put Him off. Call upon Jesus this morning. Would there be one hand right now? All right. This morning, would there be one person? Brother Ted, I just need a touch of the Lord today. I'm struggling in my walk with the Lord. And God knows and God understands. Would there be one today? Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. How many this morning with an upraised hand won't take knowledge before God? I need touch in my body. I need the Lord to heal me. I need the Lord to minister to me. How many this morning have an unsaved loved one? You want to raise that hand for God to deal with their hearts that they be saved. Oh my goodness. He is good today. I want us to come to the well this morning. I want us to come to the well of water. I want you to take advantage of the invitation where He says, come. I tell you what, let's do. Those that raise your hand, everyone that would and could, let's gather around the altar this morning. Kneel at your seat, find a place and pray and call upon the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon Him today.